my headset adjusted right. I usually fidget with it for a half hour back here before I'm ready. So last week we began to read out of Hebrews 12. And I'm going to read that again to you because, just so you remember, in verse 12 it says, "Therefore strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all people and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord. Looking carefully, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up causing trouble, and by this become defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright." As we grow as believers, there's things God takes care of and starts dealing with. And as we grow with believers, we find new sets of situations as well, new opportunities. And the writer of Hebrews is talking about this root of bitterness. There's only one other place, and that's in Deuteronomy, that talks about a root of bitterness. And we're going to get into that. But as I started studying this out, the Lord said, "I want you to go right here, and I want you to start looking at each section, because the writer had a purpose for writing it. It was written to us. It has a purpose. It wasn't just filler. So when he's telling us to strengthen our hands, we read that. Blessed be the Lord God who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to battle. We read in Isaiah where those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not grow weary. Their strength will come up. And we learned that waiting is more than just sitting still or more than just serving. It is intertwining our lives. The word means hope. And that's why I said the scholars didn't understand why hope would have to do with a rope. And the definition I gave you was something I believe the Holy Spirit showed me, was that with a rope, it is hope. We're one strand. People are another. Because it was talking about two people traveling. Two people, if it's cold, you can snuggle up and get warm. But three, two are hard to overcome, but three is nigh impossible. The third is God. It is when we receive Jesus Christ. We receive the work that he done. We are no longer hamstrung by the sin that so easily beset us before. We're supposed to continue to grow. And growing sometimes causes pain. So as we grow, as we become stronger believers, we realize certain things are sin. There are things that I call sin now in my own life that I thought were okay. Because I'll be honest with you, I got convicted when I thought about that guy on the rifle range. Drill instructors aren't supposed to mess with the recruits at all. First off, they had loaded weapons, and anybody that's ever watched Full Metal Jacket knows that doesn't go well. But the guy took the blame. I'm assuming he was a squad leader or a guide, but he took the blame. I'm the worst. Somebody raised him right. You know what I'd have done? Which one do you want? I can tell you the worst one in each squad. Because I was judging them. It's so easy to do. The Bible talks so much about judging. And yet, that's not the thing that we want to focus on. We do like saying, "Well, I've got a right to judge." We're supposed to judge fruit, right? We're supposed to judge the fruit because a bad tree puts out bad fruit. If it's good fruit, why are we judging it? And here's another thing. Are they your servant? No. So we have to stay in charge of sin. We have to control it. Genesis 4:7, God told Cain, "Sin's desire is for you. Its desire is to rule you." Well, I broke free from that. I don't understand why they can't. Well, you know, that's judgment. It's so easy to slip back. And here's what I find, that when we judge people, it says we will be judged by the way we judge. Here's a little truth I find, that when we judge people, we actually start experiencing their judgment. We start slipping ourselves. We start lying. We start cheating. We start stealing. Everything we just judged them for, we do it. Well, I don't do that. Yeah, you're probably not the best judge of yourself, because I can't tell you how many times the Bible talks about unjust scales. They're weighed to one side. That's why we have certifications on anything that meters out or weighs, is because you can tip it to your favor. Well, here's why I lied. I've told you straight up. Well, first off, the Bible actually says bear false witness. But I've told you straight up, if anybody ever comes in my house and my family's hiding and they want to kill and harm my family, I'm lying through my teeth. Don't care what you or anybody else thinks. And then I'm going to try to kill them. Two commandments. I'm going to protect my family. That's all there is to that. Well, you need to get saved. Yeah, my wife tells me that every other day, so I'm lighting the mood a little bit here. But you see what I'm saying? Well, I just believe in the truth and the whole truth and all the truth. Yeah, except you won't receive the real truth. You don't look in the mirror and say, oh, I'm not as holy as I thought I was. When I look in the mirror, you know, we all do that, don't we? This was something somebody tried to explain to me years ago. You look in the mirror and you're going to see an 18-year-old. Yeah, you still feel 18 inside. I could take on the world till you go to get out of bed in the morning. And then you're like, oh, who ran over me? You look in the mirror, and if you start judging and you start looking at yourself, you can start seeing your own flaws. I got this stupid little spot growing. You've all seen it. I know you have. My great-grandmother had one. I'm like, well, at least I know where it came from. And a couple weeks ago, I was with my mom and dad, and it just dawned on me. I walked out on the porch, and I said, by the way, which one of you do I have to thank for all the cowlicks? My mom just sat there. She just smiled, and dad's sitting over in the corner. She cuts my hair. She knows. I'm like, okay, let's try this. We have to rightly judge ourselves. We can't say, well, this is why. Well, Pastor, that's what you're saying. Well, I'm still telling you, I'll still do it. But I don't believe it's ever going to have to come to that. So we have the third strand. It's the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The purpose of the Son and the Holy Spirit was to make a way back to the Father. I'm not 100% on board with everybody saying, well, I got Jesus living in my heart. You have his Holy Spirit living in your heart. Jesus has a body now. People forgot that. There's only one Jesus. God the Father is omnipotent. Omnipresent, that's the word I wanted. He's omnipotent too, but he's everywhere. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. Jesus, to do the redeeming work he did, gave up something. He gave up the omnipotent or the omnipresence. So if you get to ever, if Jesus ever shows himself to you, consider yourself special. Because there's only one. There's only one Jesus. And what he did, he said, here it is. I need you to receive it. I want you to receive what I did. But Jesus even said, but there's one greater. See, we're strengthened through the Holy Spirit. He is our power. He brings us the future and hope. Christ broke the chain of the past so that we could progress to the fullness of God. Acts 1:8 says, and then you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. I have a problem with the word I'm going out witnessing. Can I help you out? Just don't say that. I'm going out. Your life is always a witness. Your life is always witnessing to somebody. I have found myself lately, I don't know why the man has been on my heart. I've been praying for him. But he was my platoon sergeant, and he was my NCOIC in Okinawa. He's the one that put me up on the promotion board to get corporal, which I ended up taking. But I remember him coming to me. And I didn't beat people with the Bible. I didn't go around, you need to stop that. I never did, and I still don't believe in that. Unless you're a Christian. That's my job sometimes. You need to stop that. But anyhow, he come up to me one time. He says, Corporal Waddell, I got a Budweiser in my hand. I've done about half a case already. He said, Corporal Waddell, aren't you a Christian? Oh! I said, yeah, but I'm backslidden. And I went on with my life. He saw something. He was not religious at all. And he knew better. He saw me and he said, aren't you supposed to be different? Here I was just the same. And I got worse. See, folks, our lives are always speaking to people, good or bad. If you're a jackwagon, people already know you're a jackwagon. Sometimes people need to know how to handle you, how to take you. There's people all around. Not everybody knows how to handle me. Yes, Johnny, you're one. Because we're a lot alike, I've discovered. He's back here laughing and his wife's laughing. Everybody's different. Well, they're just stuck up. No, you have a self-confidence issue. I had people tell me that I was arrogant when I got out of boot camp. A little bit of truth. Okay, can't lie. And I remember once I'd been out for about a year, and we got some fresh meat, and some newbies, some boots. I wasn't a boot anymore. And we got some boots, and boy, they come in, and they're the most arrogant, cocky little things you ever wanted to see. And it was our job to teach them how to take that arrogance and cockiness and put it to good use. Some of them did. Some of them didn't. But the Holy Spirit's here to teach us how to take the gifts that God gives us. You have gifts, God uses them. But God doesn't always give you what you thought he was going to give you. I had no intentions of ever starting a church. I liked being behind the curtain. I'm being glad. I'll sweep Jesus. I ain't got no problem with that. I can go into La La Land and I can just run the vacuum. That ain't what God wanted for me. He called me into an uncomfortable zone, which meant I had to put my dreams, my desires on hold because there was other things I wanted to do. So now, with that Godhead, let's look at something real quick. We're going to go to John 14. There it is. I think it goes into a pause. There we are. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the sakes of the works themselves. See, some people could take it on word value. Other people needed to see something. And Jesus kind of told one of his disciples a little hint. Blessed are those who have believed and not seen. Because they trust. And I get it, folks. We've had a lot of people tell us things and they lie. We're going to talk about some of that here too. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do because I go to my Father. All right, let's pause here for real quick. You have to believe in Jesus first. You have to believe it. Well, I'm going to try it. I had somebody tell me, I'm going to try tithing. You either believe the word or you don't. And I'm here to tell you right now, you're not pulling me off of that dog or off that bone. It's not law. It was a principle in the earth, period. And when we give it to God, you're not giving it to me. You're giving it to God. My salary doesn't go up because you gave more. But greater works. Well, one, there's more people on the planet. Two, you actually come in contact with more people. Stop and think about how many people you see every day. Grocery store. I mean, these were villages that they had to walk 5 miles between them. So it'd be like from walking here to Williamsport or here to Cardington. It'd take them an hour, hour and 20 minutes to walk at. Just so they could sit down and rest a little bit. Yet, Jesus always found somebody he could talk to. I ain't got anybody. You know, you can talk to people in line. Unless you believe the lie that nobody wants to talk to you. I ain't saying you got to tell them your whole life story. And be careful, sometimes you do get caught in their life story. There's been a couple times I just commented a guy on his rims. Next thing you know, I really need to get going, dude. Compliment somebody. Sometimes it makes their day too. But greater works will do because he goes to the Father. And why will that happen? Because he's going to send somebody. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, first off, you have to believe in him. The works that he did and the works that you're trying to do have to mimic the works he did. Well, I asked God for $100,000 and he didn't give it to me. I'll be honest with you, that's not absolutely faith. Sometimes faith is, I want you to go here first. Then I'll show you the way. Abraham. Abraham's the father of our faith, right? He goes all the way back to him. He's at home. He's got his family around him. He's got all the nieces, nephews, all everybody's around, cousins. And God says, I want you to leave your family. Leave your hometown. Don't look back. And go somewhere I'm going to show you. You just follow me. Wherever I point your face, you go. And wherever your foot steps, I will give that to you. Do you realize Abraham never got to build a house? It was always a tent. He paid a price for his children. He did it in faith. And when he would get tired, God would say, I want you to go outside and look up. Today, we are so ruined, and I mean ruined in a bad way, by light pollution. Oh my gosh, the other night I stepped out, it was about 1 a.m, and I remembered I had some doors open, it needed shut, so I walked out there and I just looked up, and the sky was amazing. The stars, I love looking at the stars. And to think that when you're out there, no light pollution, you can see stars that we can't. There's stars up there even now that we can't see because there's too much light down here. Abraham would get up in the morning, he said, look down. Look at all that sand. We were just talking about, was it this morning we were talking about it? About the Jews and how many there really are? Yeah, it was this morning. And he said, your descendants. He didn't even have a kid yet. He didn't even have one, let alone anybody that could produce all the sand and that he could see. And yet, God said, your descendants will be like that sand, too numerous to count. Stop and think about it, folks. How many of the entertainers do you like that are either full Jew or part Jew? Goldie Hawn, she's part. You got Adam Sandler, obviously. There's a bunch of, I think, Gene Simmons. I'm going to tell you right now, I also see a connection. They're the chosen people of God. And look, God has blessed them because they step out in a gift they have. We like to, I just want to name it and claim it, blab it and grab it. God said, go out and use your gift. If your gift is coaching, you be the best dadgum coach that's ever coached. If your gift is working on cars, then you be the best mechanic that's ever turned a wrench. Whatever it is, you use that because the world needs it. Now, let me keep going. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Again, the stipulations are you have to be in God's will. You have to be hearing from the Father, not just, I want that woman over there. Well, that don't work. I was the recipient of that by a couple different people back in the day. I want him as my son-in-law. Oh, I want him as my son. I don't like either one of your daughters. How's that? Leave me alone. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the first thing right there. We got to keep his commandments. We don't want to keep his commandments. We don't want to love each other as we love ourselves. How would I feel? Ask yourself, how would you feel if somebody was claiming you to be their spouse? That's wrong. It's witchcraft. But yet that's what was taught. He said, you love each other. Prefer one another. You know, it's not sexist or anything else to open a door for somebody. If you're with me, and I'm at the door first, I'm going to open the door for you. I mean, that's just how you do it. My mom, now she has told us, whenever I'm with you and you're dead, I don't want to touch a door. She's my mama. And we make sure we get the door. But however I've done told her, I am not running to the door. You can either go in or you can stand in the rain. I don't care. But I love her. And I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper. He's going to ask God the Father to send us another helper. Jesus helped us to this point. The Holy Spirit's going to help us to go on to the next. To be strengthened, to love those who are unlovable. I mean, believe it or not, I'm not everybody's cup of tea. That he may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit's never going to leave you. That's why I tell you, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. And there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit, and there's the deposit of the Holy Spirit we get when we receive God. When we do that, he never leaves us. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. He's always going to be there. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. A little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me because I live, you will also live. It's Jesus who lives in us, right? That's what we say. It's Jesus who lives in me. Well, it's technically the Holy Spirit, but we're going to get there. We're getting there. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father and you in me and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Verse 25, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Peace I leave you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus and the Father are one and the same, is what he's saying. We now also, there's the message. People keep trying to, well, it's not, they're not the same. They're not the same. They're not the same. There's no such thing as a Trinity. Yeah, it is. We're a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. The Godhead is three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is the body now. We become one with him. And when we let him into our lives, he becomes that support. But we've also got to have other people. That's what I'm trying to tell you. We have to have other people in our lives. I know so many people, I just want to go off grid. Yeah, if you're not familiar with the term, it means they want to go live next to a creek and with a hand crank generator to run their lights. They don't want to ever talk to anybody, but that's impossible. You got to come into town and get some sugar, right? You got to buy supplies, so you're always going to be talking to people. Well, I just don't trust people. You know what? I do find that most people, not all, are trying to be good people. But the Holy Spirit will also reveal to you who is not. You had better be listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's the one that tells you turn left, not right. But I want to go over there. He said, I said, turn left. And when you turn left, the building fell. Don't know. But God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, they're that third strand. You may get weak. You know, when I think it's still up here, that piece of rope that I had to cut it. And you know what happened is I'm cutting it with my semi-dull pocket knife. I'm out there cutting that. I finally got through one strand. And when I got through that one strand, there were still two holding that rope together. And I had to get through all of them. Well, you know, you may get through me. You may get through my friends. You will never get through the Holy Spirit. You will never sever the Godhead from us. That is still there. It's still holding us together. We are still the rope. And if you think you're going to slide into heaven with no scars, scars are proof that you lived. I've lived. I got a few. Well, I just never did anything. It's because you never lived. Well, it sounds like you just did all kinds of things. Yeah, I did some stupid things, but I've done some things. Yeah, I've done some good things. Some. Now I'm just trying to keep my boys from following my footsteps. Trust me, at about 30, you're going to regret that decision. But if I'd have been listening to the Holy Spirit on some of this stuff, maybe wouldn't be dealing with it. Matthew 7. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. The sloppy grace message has been a huge detriment to believers. We teach a free-for-all message without consequences. No, you can just go do that. There's no consequence. Your sin's forgiven. Consequences still exist. We teach false love, false humility, and false prosperity. Oh, prosperity's all about money. You can keep the money because the money system's going to fail. Anybody say amen? You know it's on its way. They're just waiting. People have been, they're just all conspiracy. You might want to read your Bible. Verse 14, how narrow must the path be now? See, the sloppy grace message widened it. But Jesus said, it's narrow. The parameters are narrow. Let me hear me tell you a little something. When we started getting the revelation that we're free from the law, we are free from that law. Again, there's consequences. There's consequences to murder. Even in my own home, if somebody breaks in and I shoot them, guess who's going to jail that night? Me. It's an automatic. Greg Perry already told us when he was teaching me the class. He said, if you shoot somebody, no matter where you're at, you may have been in self-defense, you're going to jail. It's an automatic. And I trust him. It's narrowed. Jesus made it narrower. See, Moses said, okay, here's the parameters. If you commit adultery, it's a sin. Jesus said, I say to you, if you think about adultery, it's a sin. See what he did? He challenged us to control our thoughts, to control our actions ultimately. But he narrowed the parameters. If you think about doing harm, you think about taking money from people, you think about whatever it is, you're starting to do it. You're making plans. I shared with you years ago, I had an issue with an ex-brother-in-law, who, by the way, is in prison for the next 25 years for attempted murder. I was going to kill him. I had it planned out. I had everything worked out to a T. He beat my sister. Then he jumped my dad. He kicked me in the face. Because my dad kicked my legs off from underneath me, and they all fell on top of me. Anyhow, I had some anger. And I mean violent anger. And I had to deal with it. And it took me weeks of praying, knowing that it's not right, but I still had him dead. I won't tell you how I had it all worked out, but I'm going to tell you right now, somebody had a hard time finding evidence. At work, I got so overcome with anger that I punched an I-beam. A steel I-beam, folks. It boiled over. Jesus said, if you hate your brother, you're the same as a murderer. I'm going to tell you right now, that hurt. For what? But I listened to the Holy Spirit, and I forgave him. And I moved on. I had to. She went back to him. Nothing changed. If you allow something to take root, it will fester. When God looked down in the book of Genesis and he looked at all mankind, he says, every thought they think about is evil. How to screw somebody over. How to steal something. How to start a big lie. There's been a few lies started about me. They don't go very far. Don't let a little thought take root, because it will become a cancerous growth in your life, and it will kill you. It will destroy you. He said, false prophets in verse 15. Y'all know what I call them, right? Prophet liars. Prophets in the Old Testament and the New Testament, they were the ones who heard from God and they spoke. They weren't the ones that came up and said, oh, thus saith the Lord. Oh, you're going to be a millionaire and you're going to do great, great things with your money for me, says the Lord. That's a parlor trick. A prophet came in and said, you know, brother, there was a poor man who had a sheep. It was their pet. And they loved that pet. It was all they had. And a rich man who lived next door had a visitor come. And that rich man went over and took that poor man's lamb and he killed it and fed it to his friend. What should be done? David jumped up. He said, that man will repay, that man will regret the day he was born. I'll bring justice. The prophet said, you're the man. That's what prophets did. I ain't saying God can't use a prophet to speak something into your life. I don't seek prophets. I've seen enough prophet lying in my time. Nothing good ever comes of it. But a real prophet brings repentance. And that's what happened with David. Prophet liars will arise. They'll teach theories. So we go back into today. Yeah, prophets are part of the fivefold ministry, but guess what? Most of your pastors, most of your teachers are prophets by that standard. They're teaching the word of God. Elijah taught the word of God besides bringing judgment. Samuel taught the word of God. They teach. I don't consider myself a prophet in the realm of thus saith the Lord, but by that standard, I am a prophet. I'm speaking the word of God. There will be those that rise up and they'll start teaching corrupt theories. I saw a video the other day and I told Angela, I said, I was floored. And I have to be, you know, and you do. You have got to be careful when people are on the internet trying to, here's the five top wicked preachers. But this one, I don't even remember what it was on, but it was of a woman. She calls herself a prophet. And she's in a service, and she's calling for people to give $1,000. You give me $1,000, and she said, give me $1,000. And if you don't have $1,000, you got a credit card. Thank you. I was like, dear Lord. By the way, judgment has been hitting her, but she just won't repent. We are in a day and age. We're seeing this kind of garbage. People telling us things because we want to hear it. We love it. Oh, you tell me my family will be saved? I'm not saying sowing and reaping doesn't work. It absolutely does. If God told you. But in her case, put $1,000 on your credit card. How long does that take you to pay that off? At $10 a month. With 20% interest. Because you didn't have the $1,000 to begin with. God moved on us to sow $1,000 one time into our pastors down there. We cashed in some savings bonds, and I sold my car. That's how we did it. We didn't put it on a credit card. Don't ever ask, if Pastor, can I put a gift on a credit card here? No. Absolutely not. I won't play into that. And neither will I twist your arm to give. So anyhow, but they teach theories that sound good, feel good. I mean, people were jumping and shouting in that service, but have no substance or life to them. I don't care if you ever become a millionaire. I don't care if you drive the fanciest cars. I don't care if you drive the biggest piece of crap out there. There was one time in life I drove the biggest piece of crap out there. You said something about my Sanford and Son truck. Theirs was actually nicer. Yes, it was. Mine was 7 different colors. And got 9 miles to the gallon. But boy, did it sound good. Anyhow, They'll feel good, but they have no substance or life. I'm more interested in you having life. That's why Jesus came. I'm here to tell you, the enemy doesn't care about you. He wants to steal from you. He wants to kill everything about you, your life, that's what killing is, and destroying, that's anything you have now or ever will have, to include your descendants. They will lead you from the truth to a new revelation. Beware if somebody says it's a new revelation. Your Bible says there is nothing new under the sun before Jesus was born. Why? Because it's all the same thing, just spoken a little differently. They have a new revelation of the gospel. They only seek to satisfy their own desires. Of those, you have to be careful. If we remember to fellowship, that's why fellowship is important. I watched a video the other, I love watching videos, if you ever wonder. I learn a lot through watching things. I watch people. When it comes to reading, you gotta be Oliver North telling me a spy story. Or telling me a story of hardship for the Bataan Death March. But I watched this video of these two lionesses. They're up on a fallen tree. I mean, it ain't but about 10 feet in the air, but they're surrounded by hyenas. They were together. The one just laid there. These hyenas are trying to get them. Now, if they got pulled down, they were dead. There was too many of them. But you know what they were waiting on? Their family. The one was calling out. The other one's just waiting. Because the other thing I love is watching when the hyenas have a lion cornered. And they're starting to tear at it. And then all of a sudden, here come the family. The brothers and the sisters. And you just start seeing hyenas flying. It's kind of like the Lion King. The hyenas are, woo! They go flying. You've got to have the family. You've got to have God. You've got to have God in your life. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to talk to God. I prefer to talk to him as a friend. Why? I need friends. Amen. I don't need acquaintances. I don't need somebody that's sitting up, I'm better than you. Right. I've had enough of that. Right. I need a friend. Somebody I know who's not turning his back. Amen? Amen. And so we need to be careful what we're listening to. Does that message jive with the word? It's what y'all, I've told you and told you and told you, you need to look at the word. Yes. Don't just take my word for it. Yes. There's maybe things that I've taught that's the way I was taught. Because I listened. I believed what they said. But now, I'm not a little boy anymore. I put away childish things and I said, that's not what that scripture's talking about. That's why I went up two or three verses to start showing you what it's talking about, this root of bitterness. Because in my Bible, the commentator just said, it's just disobeying God. Well, it may, but I'm not going to reveal that right now. Because I think it's something else. I think there's deeper truth to it. The fact that it's only mentioned twice. And once in Deuteronomy and God's giving commands. So yeah, ultimately this whole mess got started because somebody didn't listen to God. So, but as I'm going on, there's things we're going to talk about. There's a reason why the writers of Hebrews said to strengthen your hands, strengthen your knees, pursue peace and holiness. That's not what we want to do, is it? We don't want to, I want to make war for the devil. Nowhere. And I'm a guilty person of that. Let's fight. If you need a fight, you need a fighting partner, I'll fight. But just understand, it doesn't mean that I'm necessarily going to come with guns blazing, because I can deal with the devil standing on my front porch. I can deal with the devil in my closet. because I have authority. That is the one thing God got through my head in the military was authority. I understood my authority. I don't care if you have been in longer than I am. I outrank you. Do what I said. I ain't cleaning the toilet. I ain't cleaning up a white man's urine. I cleaned that up for you. This dude was 6'4", hiding in a cubby this big out in front of our shop. He was hiding. The only thing I could see was the tip of his boots because he had 13s. They didn't fit in that cubby. And I asked him, I said, why? He played the race card on me. I looked at him and I said, man, there ain't no difference in the color of yours and the color of mine. Get up there now or I will fry you. God kind of tells us the same thing, but I want to tell you how that ended. He did get out. He got out a long time before I did. I was a boot. I was young. He came to my office and shook my hand. He didn't do that with everybody. But I had the authority, and I did not overextend it to him. I could have owned him. God doesn't want us abusing our authority like that. We'll probably talk more about that, but there's some more things coming up. We're going to get into them. I just want you to know that. You become that threefold cord, that three-stranded cord. Hold on. You've got brothers and sisters. You ever notice how tight those ropes are wound? I have a rope at home that's even bigger than this, and it's about that big. Matt and I pulled a gigantic tree down with it. That rope's that big around, and once we put pressure on it, that rope stretched. That rope got to be about that big around. It stretched so tight, each one of those strands, they bit, and they became stronger the tighter they got. You see what I'm saying? Don't cut your own cord. The pressure is where we get tighter. The church grew under pressure. Church got fat and lazy with prosperity. Let's stand. I believe we're going to see people crying out to God. They're not wanting your dead, dry religion. They're not wanting your false teachings about what God's grace is. Grace isn't go out and live like you want. Grace is the freedom to be free from it. There are days you have to fight. Lord, I need to go pray. I want to do bodily harm to people. And it's always people. Don't sit there and tell me, oh, it's not. It's always people pushing your buttons. People are your problem. Well, no, it's my car. No, the car just multiplied your problem. Your problem is you got a problem with somebody else. You got a beef. And the devil's pushing the buttons until finally you're going to snap. And you're going to break at the wrong person. And you're going to devastate them. Because I have another Marine I pray for daily. Not daily, but I pray for him whenever I think about it. Because I made him cry. Any self-esteem that boy had, I destroyed it. Thinking that's what Marines do. By the way, it is what we do. We're one of the worst groups on the planet. We eat our own. We'll destroy each other, thinking that we're making them tough. God has removed that from me, by the way. Especially when I can see his face. It might have been anger welling up in tears, and he probably would have eaten my lunch. He had no neck. And his shoulders were twice as wide as mine. The only thing I had on him is I could run. But I still have to pray for him. Because what I did was not right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. Lord God, I thank you that Jesus took that blame. I did it and my big brother took it. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I bless these here today. Lord God, I pray that as they grab hold of one another and they bring you into their lives every day, Father, that even though it's getting tighter, the strength is still there. The anchor still holds. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in our lives. You're delivering us from evil. And Father, I bless your people today. I speak life into their existence. Everything they say, everything they do, Lord God. If the words coming out are not good, then arrest them. Father, I move your Holy Spirit through their households, into their workplaces, into their cars. In Jesus' name, amen.